What I would say is we need to be better defensively, so we would look for that type of acquisition if they're available, whether that's free agency, trade. And I continue to say this, but we have to be harder to play against. We have to have guys in our lineup that just raise the compete level. And some of that can be our own internal growth, like our own players just getting harder and stronger and, you know, even a year older. Some of that happens in the maturity. So that'll be our focus the rest of the way.
Harder to play against, Kevin Adams says. Well, they'll be their focus the rest of the way. He's in his sixth offseason at the helm, looking to be tougher to play against. I said to you, should we put on the bet board, will a player get headshotted and there's no response and there's a team meeting this year? Happens every couple years, maybe more than people like, and tougher to play against. I know it's more than just responses to, you know, your players getting hit. It's a lot of things, but anyway, they want to be tougher to play against.
I'm just looking. It's not going to be very tough. They can't score more than two goals a game. Say that.
Because they've given up some of their offense?
I mean, right now, do they look like a team on paper it's going to be able to score goals?
Depends how good Josh Norris is. I have no idea what to expect out of Josh Norris. If he's good to great, then it kind of changes the arithmetic.
Even with him, your top six is real flimsy.
Yeah.
Like your most important players offensively, if I assumed, which is a lot to assume, that Norris was going to stay healthy, I still right now need a good size jump from at least one of the kids. Benson offensively, or Quinn doubling his production, or, I mean, really, Kulik would be the one that is most likely here, right? That Kulik would go from a 25-point player to, what, a 50-point player?
Yep.
Like, that might be the one that maybe even people would bet on that to happen. I feel like I'm relying on that, and that is even with the guy that can't stay healthy staying healthy.
Is this where you say something like an Östlund or a Roseanne?
I don't even want to mention them, because that just feels like that's what we do every year,
know,
isn't
it's,
it?
It's ridiculous, I know. Yeah.
It really could just be that they think, you know, did Adams even say this a little bit? What's tougher to acquire and versus what might be easier to acquire? We'll see, but if you look at free agency, like, you would think finding your way to a guy who can pot you 20 goals, that's maybe a little more one-dimensional. Like, those guys are out there. You have to pay them. You have to be willing to pay them. But there should be a few of those players out there, even beyond, like, the star guys that are going to make $9-plus million a year. Like, Marner's going to get that, and, like, Nikolai Ehlers is going to get over $9 million per year. Like, could they find their way to a $5 million, another Jason Zucker? Even,
I suppose so.
I bet they'll do something like that tomorrow, and we'll hear. I bet we'll be hearing an explanation as to why they did it, and the guy probably will have scored like 30 goals 3 years ago, and maybe scored 12 last year, and we'll be trying to believe that he can bounce back to what he was in 2022. That might be the best I can end up with tomorrow for this team.
803-0550 and 1-888. 550-2550. Let me get the phones going here. Let me get the mouse rolled. Yeah, we have a mouse.
We still have a mouse.
Corded. Which is probably not that rare. Bobby in Niagara Falls. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jared. Hi, Joe. By the way, Jared, do you ever see Dan Hager anymore before I ask
I do. Friend? Yes, I do. It's always a pleasure to see Dan Hager. Yep.
Okay. Now, my buddies and I were having lunch yesterday, and they said there's nothing that Kevin Adams can do because, according to what they told me, I'm not an expert, these are my buddies, nobody wants to come here anymore, so Kevin Adams' hands are tied. Is that true or is that not true? Or is there something that he still can do? And thanks very much.
Well, it's likely, in a lot of cases, guys that have choices likely don't want to. Mm-hmm. That's been the case for a long time. It might be in a spot where it's worse than it's been in years.
Mm-hmm.
I would contend that having the GM still here another year hurts them there. Maybe Yarmo helps them there. This is the life cycle of a hockey team that's supposed to go through changes. They're supposed to have maybe last year parted ways with the GM, and this is year two of a build. And there's no doubt that coming here and playing for this organization is something a lot of players would not view as something they'd like to do if they had choices. There's no doubt about it. But there are plenty of examples you could trade for players that don't have a choice. For instance, is it tomorrow that Kyrou and Elias Pettersson have no trade clauses kick in. So
yep.
If you want St. Louis's Jordan
tomorrow
Kyrou.
Tomorrow noon,
okay.
I think.
So you have until then to make a trade to get those guys, and then once that deadline passes, those guys can say, I won't go there.
And probably will.
Yeah.
And probably will do that. Right. You could. The one way you can get guys to come to a place that they otherwise probably wouldn't in professional sports is money.
Yeah, overpay them. And Adams,
and they just
said more money doesn't make guys happy. Like
right.
He's already telling you we're not going to do that.
Right. So they're one avenue to maybe accomplish it. They closed that door. They don't.
Yeah.
In a certain circumstance, really, the two biggest circumstances maybe that they've done it are when they could do it on a one-year deal. When they don't have to tie themselves all long-term for it.
Taylor Hall, Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go well, here's a good contract, and if it doesn't go well, we'll send you somewhere.
Right. And we'll give you $2-3 million more maybe than anybody else is going to.
Do you think at last year's deadline they asked Zucker, do you want to go? What do you want to do?
I'm sure they asked
and
him that.
And he thought, like, well, let's see if we can get something done here.
Yeah.
But if he had said, I want to go, they probably would have done it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. They probably would have had a wink-wink agreement about that. They probably have a wink-wink agreement with almost anybody they sign in July with that.
Even just straight-on handshake agreements. Like, listen, if we get there in February and we're not in the race and you want to go somewhere, we'll talk about it. Like, we'll make that happen.
We're not going to keep you for the rest of the year, like, to play meaningless games. Like, if you have a shot to win a cup, we'll go give it to you.
I mean, they not only do that, they'll trade you where you want to go in some cases. Opposed to wanting to go to Florida. He got traded to Florida.
Right.
So...
Now so I would expect something like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Bobby. So there's no doubt that it's a reality. I owe you the stat of the day. You want that or you want something else first?
No, go ahead. Yeah, stat of the day.
So stat of the day. Stat of the day is powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Sabres drafted a bunch of big defensemen.
Yep.
Big 6'5", 6'6", 6'3". And this is kind of getting to the point about, you know, you could look at your own team or you could look at the entire league. So did everybody. Everybody added big defensemen. Everybody. Not a single defenseman was drafted that was under 6 foot.
Oh.
Not one.
So disrespectful to the Tobias Enstroms and the, I guess, Jacob Bryson. Who's the best example of this?
Torrey Krug. Can I go Torrey
Krug? Torrey Krug. Weeps.
I always liked Torrey Krug.
Who's the best small Sabre defenseman?
How big is Brian Campbell? Not
he was over 6 foot, I think.
I don't
right?
think so.
You think he was under 6 foot?
I think so. Torrey Krug, 5'9".
God, Campbell, 5'10".
Yep.
Look at that.
I felt pretty good about that.
So not a single one got drafted under 6 feet tall.
Nope.
The Sabre, maybe the biggest false narrative about them right now is that the Buffalo Sabres are little.
Yeah, they're not.
You could call them soft, and you could say, like, oh, they don't stick up for each other. But do not call them little. I think it was before the Timmins trade, so maybe this is after Kesselring. They were... Someone tweeted these numbers. They were the third biggest team in the league by height and the seventh biggest by weight. Like, oh, yeah, can't get another undersized player on that team. They're the third biggest team in the league by height. Third tallest, sixth heaviest. There we go.
Yeah.
It's a myth. They're not small. They might be soft, but even that, I feel like is overstated sometimes.
Trying to get tougher to play against. So free agency opens tomorrow. The Marner stuff is interesting. Tampering. You threaten Vegas with a tampering charge. Their answer is probably, yeah, sounds great.
But,
who cares?
But Toronto isn't even, like, Toronto is taking a bribe, aren't they? Do you see
They might trade for the rights.
They're going to trade for the rights and get a good player back so that they don't cause a headache. That is, isn't that Vegas openly bribing Toronto? Like,
yes.
Hey, we did cheat here. We're going to give you this second pair of defensemen so you don't call us out on it. That's a bribe.
Yeah.
Toronto doesn't look good in that, do they?
Well, sure, if you can
leverage it
into a player.
It feels a little shady to me. Although Vegas, I can respect some of it, though, right? Like, Vegas is cold sometimes, and they are shady, but I guess it's just a desire for the Sabres to just be a little bit more desperate to win. Like, that team acts all the time. By the way, you want Jake Allen, and you mentioned the goalie part. Matt Larkin, I was just looking at his free agent rankings for tomorrow, and Allen is the only goalie in his top 25 players for tomorrow. So go give him $6 million a year. He's it. You could trade for a guy. It really kind of stinks they didn't make that John Gibson trade, huh?
The Gibson trade, I guess he could have said no to it. It was a second and a fourth, which is on my... You know, the Jimmy Johnson
is
trade...
Is that a can of soup?
I got to go ahead and put out a full-on trade value chart. I've done, where one of them is a rebate for dish soap, and one of them is a jar of olives.
Jar of olives,
but
that's what it
was. Let's do the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart, okay? Imagine if you tried to do this for the NHL. It would be first pick, 1 million points. Second pick, 500,000 points. Third pick, 100,000 points. And by the time you got to like the 24th pick of the first round, we'd be at 110. 120 points. You could try to offer 30 years of first round picks in the 20s for one number one pick, and that team would tell you to buzz off.
Kick rocks.
No way. Third and fourth and fifth round picks, we are at decimal points. A second and a fourth for John Gibson, who's under contract for how long at what?
One more year, 6 points.
What's that?
He's got one more at like 6.6 or something like that.
Without a doubt, worth a second and a fourth.
I was doing the draft coverage here on Saturday, and that trade broke, and I was very surprised to see that's all that it took to get Gibson.
If they were not
Hold on. I got one more bit of context in here.
Okay.
The second round pick that they acquired was in 2027. If I guaranteed you that player will make the NHL, when would that happen? In 6 years?
2030.
Right. So that's, you're maybe getting like a bottom six play forward in 6 years.
Right. That's part of why I was so okay with the trade they made for Timmins. Like, I don't really care what the pick was for Timmins.
You kind of could say the Sabres spent more for Timmins than the Red Wings spent for John Gibson, couldn't you?
100%.
It's at least close. That's 39 overall. That's an early second-round pick right now versus an unknown second-round pick in two more years.
And a fourth.
And a fourth. And how different is a fourth from Connor Clifton?
I mean, how many fourths do the Sabres have this year?
I have no idea. They had a couple, right?
They had two fourths, 103 and 160.
Like, listen, honestly, I think you could argue the Sabres spent more for Timmins than the Ducks did for John Gibson.
Right. If they're not calling on that, maybe Gibson, he got the no trade on 10 teams.
He had a 10-team
no trade.
Maybe
he said no. I mean, I don't know if we're going to ever find that out, but he better have said no, because 1 year to try and say, even if he doesn't work, even if Lukanen beats him out, fine.
Yeah.
Be real here.
Should Detroit
get a goalie?
Should Detroit also be that much higher than the Sabres on a list of like a player like that? He's got to decide whether to waive it for a team that's on the list, or he's got to make his list. Detroit is that much better rep wise than the Sabres are.
They're further roster wise than the Sabres are now. Arguably,
are they that?
What does Detroit have?
I was going to say the same thing. I'm about to.
Yzerman.
Yes.
They have Yzerman.
They have a reputable person running the organization that the Sabres, I don't think, to the average player or the average person in hockey, have. Yeah. Yzerman carries a weight with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Steve Yzerman's calling me to come play for his team. Like, okay, you sure you haven't made the playoffs? And they haven't made the playoffs in 9 years. So it's pretty bad there, too. And it's Detroit. No palm trees there. Big taxes in Michigan. But Yzerman. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Here, maybe Eric Staal's giving you that call. I don't know. But it might not be as easy to get them to say yes because it's Adams.
Vegas wants a defenseman to play the right side. They're looking for a defenseman to play the right side because of Pietrangelo.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Bo Byram doesn't do that, does he?
No, he plays on the left.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if they can get their hands on somebody functional for Byram in the crease. Like, I have thought about that to me ever since the trade that they made with Paterka.
Yep.
Made it. Byram's got to be for a forward. Can you get your hands on somebody just a little more consistent and a little more proven to solidify you there? And then you still got to fill the top six holes that they have. Like, the goalie market is just so tough. Can you fetch Demko from Vancouver's an idea? I don't love it because of how hurt he's always been. His knees are really jacked up, and I don't love the idea, but he's a guy that can play. Like, if he's healthy, he's playing way better than anybody the Sabres have had for a long time.
I think what you're going to hope...
Can I tell you the first two names at SpotTrack's UFA list for goalies?
Sure. One of them is Jake Allen?
He's third on the list.
Third?
Whoa. Cal Peterson and Robin Leonard.
Oh, man. Robin Leonard should
Whose list is that?
Be on that
list. It's SpotTrack.
Okay, so is that just in order of their previous cap hit?
Yeah.
Okay, because Leonard I don't think is going to play again.
Yeah,
right.
He's...
Vitek Vanacek, Georgiev.
Vanacek's an idea.
Levi, by the way, we got to talk. They got to sign him.
That might be more than people are expecting that to be.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are thinking that that's going to be some million-dollar deal. I'll bet you he's at 2.5.
And there's Reimer sitting right there.
I think what you're headed for. I think Demko, great name. I've wanted him for 2 years. Halibut, Ottinger, like these crazy ideas that will come up when maybe everything's not so rosy with their team. Gibson before that. Like, these are big ideas. I don't think they're... I'd love it. I'm not expecting it.
No.
The most I'd be expecting in net, and I could get behind this to some degree, is maybe like Jake Allen. This was Jake Allen in New Jersey last year.
Yeah.
Like, they are going to go get somebody's backup that had... This is kind of like Eric Comrie a couple years ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go get somebody's backup that had good numbers but didn't play a lot. And they're going to put him in there with UPL. And, like, if you earn more time, you... Like, the starting job is open. Somebody go take it. And that's going to be a guy that probably isn't going to move the meter much.
Exactly.
Like, are they going to go trade for Connor Ingram from... That's Utah again. I guess they could have done that already. But, like, someone like that. That's a guy where, like, everyone's going to have to go Google how good is this guy. They're not going to go get a star goalie.
You know who's the most recent team that pops into your head that did that? Detroit with Husso.
Yep.
And that was a catastrophe for them. And they had to go do this Gibson thing to make up for that because they have been like they.
But
we want to talk about not getting saves. They've been.
But it's Detroit. Important to point out how. What did that catastrophe do to them? Nothing.
Which
they tried.
Right.
It didn't work, and they just tried again.
Yeah.
Instead of just having all the faith in a guy that had 50 games that you liked.
And sometimes it does work. Like sometimes Aiden Hill in Vegas is one of these. Like there are success stories of. You get the backup, put him in a bigger role, and then it ends up working for you. Because beyond that, I'm looking at a list of starting goalies in the league right now. You want to go get somebody else's starting goalie and give him Bo Byram or go give him whatever of value. I had mentioned Swayman last week, and like I don't think he's getting dealt, and his trade protection ends tomorrow. And like, is UC Saros available in Nashville? Like, I'm done. I'm already done with goalies. I feel like I could realistically see being traded. Like, our caller earlier mentioned Shesterkin. Like,
yeah,
nobody's trading Shesterkin. You're not trading for Sorokin. You're not trading for, you know,
go try. And get
I don't think you're trading for Ottinger.
Stu Skinner from Edmonton. But like, what you want is that a better? How much better of an idea is that? It's so hard with the goaltenders in this league.
You might be able to get him for pretty cheap.
I would think you probably can. I think you've seen the last of Stuart Skinner in Edmonton. Definitely as a starter, I would hope
but
for them.
Just give me any believable idea to go with Levi and Lukanen.
And Gibson would have represented that in almost the best way of anybody that you could have gotten.
The feeling of if it's UPL and Levi and that's it, I'm not even thinking about anybody else arriving at the Sabre season. I'm not going to have – it's going to be so hard to build confidence.
It's the same as the top six thing.
Is it possible they don't make the Gibson deal because Levi's not yet signed? And if they make the Gibson deal and they have John Gibson here, it's just possible. Now there's another roadblock. There's $6 million committed here. And then Levi goes and says, I'll sign an offer sheet somewhere else where I think I've got a clearer path. Because there's plenty of chatter that when they signed Levi, they didn't get another goalie to stand in his way. Then Levi came – and UPL found its way to a 5-year, $25 million contract.
Yeah.
And Levi's got to get over top of that eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So if you brought in Gibson, would Levi think, too muddy here, I got to go find a net and then go somewhere else?
Ugh.
Possible.
That is continuing to be, in a way, held hostage by your prospect goaltender. Who has not yet done it at the NHL level.
Anything.
Oh, I'm not defending it. I wonder if that would be part of it.
I think it's possible.
I think that definitely
would. Jake Allen Because if you're not doing that for Gibson for one year,
yep.
Jake Allen will come to Buffalo 3 years, $15 million. If you sign that, what is Devin Levi going to do? I got two guys in front of me making five under contract for 3 years at least.
Yep.
You'd like to hope that a guy, A, the organization tells, listen, we know we've kind of made this a bumpier ride for you, so earn it. Like, and he's got to want to do that. I think at a certain point, as an athlete, you don't want to be handed everything.
No, but you don't, especially in goal, if your path is blocked and you're good enough, what are they going to do?
Well, is he good? He hasn't been good enough.
He's been good enough in the NHL, but now he wouldn't have a chance to show it.
Right. Yeah. It's such a tough. Yeah, I need to do something there.
Oh, I agree.
You need to do something.
I agree.
And you can't be. Yeah. You cannot end up being a facilitator for a young player to go start his career somewhere else.
And that's where Gibson, for a second and a fourth, if they could have got that done for 1 year, would have made a lot of sense. Hey, don't worry about it. It's 1 year. We're trying to get to the playoffs. And if you come up and win the job, we'll waive somebody. You know? Right. Just waive Gibson.
Right.
Well, really, what it costs money to sign guys to $6 million and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But the Levi part of it is whatever. Feels like it's sticky.
The problem here, though, as much as it could be Levi, it's also Luukkonen's presence.
Right.
There was a rumor in April. It was from Friedman, his 32 Thoughts podcast, right after the season ended. He said, quote, there are teams who believe that Luukkonen could be available, that the Sabres are, I don't know if down is the right word, but maybe feel they could have gotten more from him this year. But there are teams with some whispers around the league, the teams who are looking for goaltenders, that he might be the guy that's out there. There has been not a word, I feel like, about him since then.
I saw something from Friedman last week that was
about him.
I'm curious about it, but haven't heard anything. It's not active, but it's, I think, in the same way we're discussing it now, it would make sense for them to get off of him.
Because what I'm saying is that, okay, if you value Levi and his potential still to such a high degree that you do not want to see that get away from you, and you feel like he's got to, you want to give him a chance to grow into an NHL role, but you need to win right now and you need to be more solid in goal. The idea is maybe not to sign a third guy and then risk Levi signing an offer sheet. If again, this is in the standpoint of you care a lot about keeping him. You might say, well, Lukanen's the problem.
Right.
Trade him out. Clear that spot. Let me get a better player than him. Let me get an upgraded version of my number one goalie, and I will still be willing to commit that other spot to Devin Levi and hope that he can grow into it.
Right. And if he doesn't, then great.
And if he doesn't, I've got a more solid idea than I have with UPL, which is one good season in 4 years.
Right.
Should I be looking up buyouts for UPL? No. Have I gone too far?
You know, I haven't looked, but that might be if they're not buying out Samuelson, I can't imagine they're doing it with Luukkonen. You should be able. Goalies are going to go for not much, but should you be able to get him off your roster if you really want to without buying him out? I feel like you probably should be able to.
He's talented enough that somebody would take a flyer on him for some low price. It wouldn't get you much.
They're not going to give up on him. They probably shouldn't give up on him, but they also
shouldn't they? How does he fit their timeline?
He fits because you have the room and you can just be one of those sports teams where, you know, you sign guys and who wins. Just bring in two goalies at $5 million each and say you're both going to play.
Yeah, I think with the league being what it is, when you look at these lists of starting goalies that are all so remarkably similar in terms of impact, it don't give up a guy that could be a guy.
Yeah.
Like, don't burn a lottery ticket if you haven't scratched it off yet. And
yeah,
I don't know that we've seen all the numbers on that lottery card yet from Luukkonen.
I mean,
mean, it's a mechanism in the CBA that every team has. If you have your picks, you have the ability to look at that. As we go through our own process, we plan out and prepare budget-wise for those type of things. So it's something that we don't wake up every day fearful of anything. We plan appropriately. But it's not as easy to find the right fit to have it work. You know, you have to have the appropriate picks. You have to have the cap space. So just a lot of things that you have to really like the player and all these other areas.
Kevin Adams on offer sheets. You do need your own picks, and the Sabres have had a habit of spending their seconds and thirds, which I like to say are not really that useful and all that valuable, but in offer sheets they are. So Carolina was going to offer sheet Keandre Miller, and instead they called the Rangers and said, like, let's just make a trade instead.
Yes, or maybe even the Rangers called them and said, hey, before you do this, why don't we try to work something out here?
Yep.
And Carolina's been as active an offer sheet team as you really can get, I guess, because they did one, and they also had been offer sheeted the year before, and they were about to do it again right after Gavrikov went for a big deal to the Rangers. So they go for the veteran, I guess, in New York rather than the younger guy, and Carolina gets, they kind of get what they want, don't they? I mean,
they got the player.
This is not, the offer sheet doesn't actually ever happen, but they used offer sheets to get a player they wanted.
Yeah.
If offer sheets don't exist, maybe the Rangers just say kick rocks. I'm not trading them. But
and that might be how the Byram deal gets done.
Because like Darren Dreger said that yesterday, that there's a team. It seems like a threat through the media, right? But there was a team that is realistically considering offer sheeting Bo Byram.
Is that Calgary?
Could be Vegas. If they have, I saw Chris Johnston said $7 million would give a first and a third. I don't have the tiers in front of me.
I don't think, right.
Some teams can't do that.
Well, there's a couple of tiers. $7 million's a first and a third. You would just go $7,021,000. That's a first, a second, and a third. If you
have those picks.
If you have those picks.
Right.
Right. So it's a little over $7 million that the whole thing gets to a first, a second, and a third. And yeah.
Calgary has all of these. Calgary could do anything.
So here you go. Here's the plan here. And this is,
but St. Louis can only go up to 7.02. So if it was St. Louis, they'd have to be below that. They'd have to be at $7 million.
And they probably feel like the if it's a first and a third, the Sabres are going to match that. I think you'd feel really stuck.
I think you'd feel. What does everybody want out of Byram right now? They want him to be turned into a forward, right? A guy that can score goals for you.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I would do if I'm if I'm the owner? I would meddle if I'm the owner. And I would say, yes, I would meddle. I'd go to the GM and say, the GM comes to me and says, hey, Byram might get an offer sheet. All right, what's the compensation? A first, a second, a third, a first and a third? I would say, who's the team?
Yes, that's not, okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Who's the team? Because an offer sheet like this,
if it was Vegas, for instance, they can't do it, but
it's a rare spot. I could get a first round pick that is not lottery protected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's the team? Are they going to be bad?
That's the thing.
Are they going to miss the playoffs?
If it was Vegas, I might say.
No way.
Yeah, because they're not going to be bad. But if it's Calgary.
If it's Calgary. Calgary could be bad. Calgary could be bad. They could miss the playoffs.
Sure.
I don't profess
they could miss the playoffs by a lot.
I'm the owner of the team. I don't know. I don't have to pull up the standings. I don't care. Analytics team, run 10,000 simulations on the season. Which team is likely to miss the playoffs, giving us two lottery balls? I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
2% at Gavin McKenna.
You do not get unprotected lot. You do not get unprotected firsts. It almost never happens anymore.
Right.
And an offer sheet would do that. If it's one first, that's. Now, one thing about offer sheets that's odd. I've got to get this exactly right. So one of the sheets is four firsts.
Yeah, that's the 11.
You actually have 5 years to give them four firsts.
Right.
I don't know if that's true of one first. Do you have 2 years?
It's not. No. It's okay. So everything that's one first, it's got to be the 2026 first round pick.
Okay. Then
if you go up to, and this won't be for Byram, that second tier, 9.3 to 11.7, which is two firsts, that's got to be in the next three drafts.
Okay. So you're telling me if a team offer sheets Byram, I can get an additional first next year that is not lottery protected?
That's a lot of value to put on ping pong balls, but it's a big player.
Listen, I'm just saying, what's more valuable? The 24-year-old left winger that Calgary's going to put in this deal that I'm now going to say, like, I guess that's my new Paterka, or I'm not telling you I'm tanking. I'm not telling you anything other than we got a generational guy coming out. I got Gavin McKenna. My best chance at ever getting another one of these players ever again is, time is a flat circle, being at the top of the lottery again. And if I can have a bad team, this is the trade you'd make in fantasy, Joe. You're in a dynasty league. Guy texts you, I'll give you a first. And you look and you say, your team stinks. I'm going to take that because I might get a first round pick that's in the top three.
So why don't I just go all in then, though? Why don't I, if it's all about McKenna this year.
It's not all about McKenna. It's about I'm going to trade Byram. If I'm going to do that.
Right.
And the team that is threatening the offer sheet is a team that I think reasonably could be in the bottom 10.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm saying, let it happen.
But what you're doing is you're giving up. The argument against it would be is you're giving up your number one trade chip for this year and you are going to get nothing that helps you this season.
Well,
not a single thing.
Am I convinced I'm going to get anything that helps me this season to begin with?
I'm more hopeful at this point than I would say I'm expecting it.
I'm hopeful, too.
I'm hopeful that they can get something that would help them.
I'm just saying, if it's an offer sheet, that the ring, it's an offer sheet.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Because if it's – all right, so for you, if it's Calgary, you feel like, all right, I want like a team like that. If it's Vegas, then you're – okay, maybe then you're stuck. Because if you're not interested in the lottery balls, because no one would expect Vegas to be in the lottery to any degree, then – I've got, now I'm really deciding between futures or Bo Byram. I had forgotten this rule or maybe just didn't know it, but if you match an offer sheet on a player, you're not allowed to trade him for a year. So if Vegas offer sheets Bo Byram, you have to decide, do I want a 2026 draft pick?
No.
That's going to help me, or
then you keep
or
him.
I just have Bo Byram on my team this year.
Yeah.
And that's where the Sabres might really not want an offer sheet because an offer sheet would completely prevent them from trading him for something they might want.
They could trade him next July.
But for this year they can't.
Sure. So he's just on the team and you're not moving with the deadline.
Right. Which means you're not getting a forward.
Which is a possibility to begin with. They could just decide there's no deal. Anyway, the Byram thing. It's interesting. We'll get a break in. 803-0550. I'm not...
So you're rooting for Calgary to offer sheet.
Well, Calgary had 96 points last year. I mean, they're, you know...
Who were the other teams mentioned? The teams that could offer sheet between 7 and 9.3.
Okay.
Anaheim.
Oh, you would definitely take that.
Boston.
No. Boston's going to be better than the Sabres this year. Are they not?
I don't like their roster yet.
Okay.
I mean, I might like their future more, but I would take it from Boston. Calgary, Chicago, Detroit, LA. I mean,
the Bruins finished 3 points behind the Sabres, going 3-6-1 down the stretch. The Sabres won 6-3-1 down the stretch.
Wouldn't it be hilarious, though, if they won the lottery and it was the Bruins pick?
It'd be great. From Underdog NBA, and according to Fred Katz, who is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding their Kevin Durant trade.
Okay.
Because is that deal not done yet?
I had never seen it officially announced by either side.
So the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding the Kevin Durant trade into a deal that would include seven teams.
That's unbelievable.
So it's the Rockets and the Suns and the Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, and Wolves.
Okay. A seven-team trade. Seven other teams? No, they would
record seven teams.
Okay, so including them. Okay, right, yeah. Seven.
Rockets, Suns, Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, Wolves. If you're another team, do you just call up and say, yo, hey, want to make it eight?
Yeah.
Just throw me in there. I got a pick.
And eventually, just everybody in the league eventually just gets involved
in some way, shape, or form. On a Zoom call with six teams, and the Nets GM's like, hang on a second, I'm going to call the T-Wolves. I got to get them in on this to bridge this gap.
Yeah.
A seven-team trade.
This is where
I need this to happen.
See, you like this. This is where I feel like the NBA they overcomplicate their rules so like to try to prevent super teams. Just they go way too far with it, like matching salaries, right, and bird rights, and just like there's the first apron, second apron. There's all this crazy whatever eligibility for different contracts, and I don't know. It is very hard to keep track of. And to know like what the rules actually are. Like, why do they need seven? Probably just to like match up salaries or something. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe LeBron's going to be in the deal or something. You want LeBron to the Warriors, right? Aren't they both involved in this?
I do want LeBron to the Warriors.
And the Lakers and the Warriors are two of the teams mentioned as being a part of the 17 trade.
If the Durant trade includes LeBron of the Warriors, then it becomes the LeBron trade, right?
I don't know. Yes. It would be the LeBron-Durant trade, even though they're not being traded for each other.
What is the in-the-clubhouse leader for the most blockbuster trade of all time in all sports? What is the biggest...
Gretzky.
That's Gretzky for cash?
Yeah.
I mean, name for name, biggest blockbuster we've ever seen where, I don't know, somebody on the podcast should do one of these. Like, I ran all the numbers. And
yeah,
you know, the most famous people involved in a trade. Biggest name where you're shocked either one of them could be moved. Like a LeBron. We're mentioning Durant in a trade.
Durant, for Seth.
If LeBron and Durant are in the same trade.
Yeah.
That's the biggest of all time. It's got to be. What's the leader in the clubhouse? I don't have this answer. I'm trying to think of it.
That involves two players.
Yes. Not just the biggest player moved for a bunch of stuff.
That would be bigger than the... It's more name power than the Luka trade.
Sure. I mean,
Luka for
Anthony Davis is pretty big.
But like in terms of... They're younger, but name power, LeBron over Luka and Durant over Anthony Davis.
Yes.
For sure. I don't know. What is the leader in the clubhouse?
And I don't want... Brett Favre got nobody knew who he was.
You don't want that. You don't want Babe Ruth being sold for the Yankees.
Cash is not a star. I mean, cash is pretty
And you
great.
Also don't want like Elway for the first overall, like the draft. You don't want a draft trade.
No. I want the biggest names ever included in the same draft, in the same trade on each side. Where it's, I can't even think of who it would be.
Is there a hockey trade that would work for this?
There definitely are going to be some.
I can't think of one, though, that's like both on both sides, you're getting like a superstar.
Right. Like the Lindros trade is huge for the volume going back the other way, but that's a draft pick. All right. Think about this for a minute. Give us a call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And a fun little Bills note. Benjamin Solak's got a, you know, peak offseason list kind of thing, but it's cool. And it's got two current Bills on it. I'll tell you about that. Two current Bills that are on it and one that is not. Suspiciously. And that's coming up on WGR.
I think Baltimore still has a chance. The thing that I struggle with in Buffalo is when everything's scripted, that team seems to be okay. But when there it comes down to a fourth quarter where they have to make either an important play or an important decision by the coach, they always seem to dribble down their leg. So to me, Buffalo will always just hit that proverbial ceiling. And they can be the Charles Barkley to the Michael Jordan, unfortunately for Josh Allen.
Shots fired from former Bills GM Doug Whaley on the state of the Bills. Charles Barkley to Michael Jordan. He's saying the coach? He's got to be. Decisions?
Yeah, I think
so. He's saying the coach. He's talking about the coach. And he says, unfortunate for Josh Allen. Like, he's saying the coach.
It has to be.
So
yeah.
There's Doug Whaley. On the Bills.
They worked together for 3 months?
Yep.
4 months? They're in the draft room together in 2017 when they don't pick Mahomes and trade down.
That's right. Anyway, if you want that, it's right there. Ask the question, go to the break. What is the leader in the clubhouse for the biggest, most blockbuster trade in sports history?
Which we got on because Kevin Durant is involved in a 7-team trade.
Yes, yes.
Like the Warriors and whoever. By the way, real quick before we get back to that, did you see Durant's tweet yesterday? That made me laugh.
I did not.
Durant, everyone knows enough about Durant. Maybe you don't. That he's like an epic Twitter guy. Like fights with everybody. You know, like he's always getting into stuff. And somebody like is like, "What? What's your deal, dude? Like, why do you get to like fight people on Twitter all the time?" And he tweeted back at the person, "Shut up! I'll troll on Twitter till the day I expire. Don't let me distract you, dweeb." And that's gone far.
Wow.
He is going off on people in the last 24 hours because this trade's not completed yet. But anyways, so you asked that. I think there are going to be definitely bigger trades, obviously, nationally. Isn't the score to beat in Buffalo Turgeon for LaFontaine? Pierre Turgeon for Pat LaFontaine is a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Who had put wasn't there, so I don't know like what the reaction was to that, but Turgeon put up a million points, and you traded him for another team's like superstar.
Yeah, it
feels like that's insane.
That's pretty good.
That'd be like trading Dahlin right now for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, with LaFontaine,
I think
LaFontaine had a 100-point season, three seasons. Other than that, over 80 points four times.
Turgeon had a 100-point season,
right,
for the Sabres.
So that's a good answer.
But nationally,
the biggest trade ever does not mean Gretzky and a one-sided one team got a big star. I'm talking about two guys cross paths on airplanes. Like, wow, look at this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of answers here. We got a couple calls on this and a couple texts to get to as well. And I owe you this Benjamin Solek project about the best selection at every single draft pick.
Might make Bills fans, well, never. We'll get to it. They might have a reaction to it. A
couple quick tweets, and then we'll get a call on this about the biggest blockbuster trades. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, chimes in with Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis. That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
The Washington and Denver trade, that's not bad. Definitely a worthy mention.
Yep.
Diggs for Jefferson does not apply. That's Diggs for a first. That is not superstars crossing paths. LaFontaine, Turgeon, Eli for Rivers.
Yeah, that's big. But Rivers isn't drafted yet, right? Or is he?
They're both drafted that day.
Okay, so yeah, they already were picked, though.
They were picked. It's a big trade. Of course, it's a blockbuster, but not the same.
That's pretty good. I kind of like the Bailey Portis one.
Yeah.
Those, unless was one of them down at the time, were they not both like elite at their position?
They were both pretty darn good.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one I like a lot, and we'll get some calls. Goff for Stafford.
Good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Good one.
Goff had been to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Stafford had done not anything close to that with the Lions, despite being
better.
Probably better.
And putting up, I mean, his career at that point was, this dude is awesome. He just plays for the Lions.
Yeah, and they can't do anything around him. He's a former number one overall pick. Goff for Stafford is a good one here. I like that.
Goff was a little bit down at that point, right? People thought he was a cap dump when he's in that trade.
That's right. He goes to, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl, and then Belichick completely masterclassed him. And the Rams are, we can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and has a pretty nice career after that.
By the way, I asked, like, was Portis maybe down or something? Like, was there a reason they got traded? The year before Clinton Portis got traded, he put up 1,591 yards, 14 touchdowns on the ground.
He was awesome.
So he was amazing.
He was fun to watch. He was awesome.
Yeah. I think I kind of missed out on him, I think. He's kind of done by the time, 2008, he puts up 1,500 yards, so maybe right at the end. I'm still seeing him at his peak, but like I don't remember him in Denver.
That's back where running backs putting up 1,500 was kind of normal. Like more guys used to do it.
And isn't he like he's one of these guys that goes beyond? Like he goes back to. Isn't he insane at Miami?
Yes.
Maybe I'm thinking about those Miami teams. Really, is like the thing that I like those that group of Miami players: Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. Like they're nearing the end. I feel like when I'm starting to finally get into all of those guys.
Yeah. Ron and Alden is up. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Morgan, I got two for you. One for the Sabres and one for a big major one. I think Herschel Walker for Jesse Salomon and Isaac Cole might be one of the big ones because there were names at the time, big names. Now, obviously, all those draft picks were included also. But the number one Sabre trade of all time has to go back to the Danny Gare trade for Mike Foligno. Danny Gare, Jim Schoenfeld, and Derek Smith for Dale McCourt, Mike Foligno, Brent Peterson, and someone else I'm missing. But that's probably the biggest trade because both those are Danny Gare was a 50-goal scorer back-to-back. then he got traded the following year.
Yeah.
And then Dale McCourt was the major player comeback net, and Mike Leo became really good. So those are just my thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, I don't know that, you know, the Herschel Walker trade is a very famous big trade. I don't know those names you're mentioning, Isaac Holton, Jesse Solomon, to be guys in the league. And maybe they were. You know how many pieces were on the Herschel Walker trade? I get people know it to be a big trade.
I just knew there were a lot of stuff, a lot of picks, right?
Throw a number out there. How many pieces were in the Herschel Walker trade?
Eight.
18.
18?
18 pieces
on
in
both
this
sides
trade.
Combined,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. And I also learned today that the Chargers were involved in that trade. I did not know that.
To what degree?
They got a running back out of it.
Okay. Ooh, that just made me think of, for this, three-way trade where... Who gets who? Eric Dickerson goes somewhere. Cornelius Bennett comes to the Bills, and maybe there's another player involved.
Greg Bell.
Bennett, Greg Bell.
Yeah.
So Dickerson is definitely, like, by name stature, well above the others, but those were big-name players. I think Bennett even was a little bit before he got to the Bills, right?
Yeah.
But he mentions that we're going way back into Sabre history. How about the Sabres making trades like this back in the day, not being afraid to make it? They traded... Gare was a 50-goal scorer. Schoenfeld was the captain and like one of their top defensemen. And then Derek Smith, who had put up 65 points the year before. They traded all three of them in the same deal. Again, for like a modern comparison, is that trading Dahlin,
Tage,
and Benson all in the same deal?
Yeah.
And they got a lot back. I think
18 pieces in that Walker trade.
18 pieces.
Yeah. Including the Cowboys' 10th overall pick, which I did not realize that was something in that deal. Whatever.